he would talk about collective responsibility in Singapore exists for the problem. And until we as a country decide to come together and share responsibility for these problems and collectively stop them, nothing will change. There needs to be solidarity in this country, and he doesn't think there is any whatsoever. Thanks to all of you for participating in our hour about LBC's reporting on knives in schools. Into our next hour, Donald Trump's had a pretty mixed bag of a day. Last night we brought you breaking news that his Liberation Day tariffs were deemed illegal by a federal court. At the White House today,
there is a troubling and dangerous trend of unelected judges inserting themselves into the presidential decision-making process.
The president's press secretary says he wants the Supreme Court to ride to his rescue, but today another court blocked his efforts to ban foreign students from Harvard University. Judges have ruled against his mass deportations, his firing of federal government workers, the peace he promised in Ukraine and Gaza. Not much of that in sight. So is the US president a busted flush, or do you think he can still find his way to success?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 11 o'clock. Donald Trump's been told he can press ahead with his sweeping tariffs for the time being, even though a court has ruled he overstepped his authority by using emergency powers to impose the levies. Most of them will remain in place while the White House appeals against the decision. But the journalist Adam Klasfeld has been telling LBC the president's flagship policy could be in trouble.
The 1977 International Economic Emergency Powers Act doesn't contain the word tariffs in it. As a matter of fact, there's only one president in U.S. history that ever claimed the power under any law to unilaterally impose tariffs, and his name is Donald Trump.
A 48-year-old man from Leeds is due in court tomorrow, charged with a terror offence. Martin Paul Gilliard from Armley will go before Westminster magistrates after what's being described as an intelligence-led operation in the city. A local businessman and a father of three has been charged over the collision in Liverpool, which injured dozens of football fans on Monday. Assistant Chief Constable Jenny Sims from Merseyside Police has addressed the media earlier this evening.
The man arrested by Merseyside Police following the incident on Water Street has now been charged with seven serious offences. Doyle has been remanded into custody, and he will appear at Liverpool Magistrates Court in the morning.
The charges against 53-year-old Paul Doyle from West Derby include dangerous driving and causing GBH with intent. A car was driven into crowds during the city's Premier League victory parade, injuring 79 people, including a 9-year-old. Lawyers for the influencer brothers Andrew and Tristan Tate say they will return to the UK to defend themselves against rape, trafficking and other charges. The CPS authorised the prosecutions in January 2024. The pair, who are dual US and British citizens, moved to Romania in 2016. It's believed the United Nations Secretariat is preparing major cuts to its budgets. A leaked internal memo indicates a 20% spending reduction is on the cards, and it could result in almost 7,000 jobs being lost. And in sports and in tennis, Cameron Norrie has continued his run of improving form by reaching the third round of the French Open. He eased a straight sets victory over Argentina's Federico Gomez, but Katie Bolter is out after being beaten comfortably by the American Madison Keys. LBC weather, patchy rain for central Scotland, Wales and the north of England overnight, but mostly dry elsewhere. We'll see a low of 4 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Simon Marks.
And I'm in for Ben Kentish again tonight. If you were listening to us last night, right at the end of the programme, we brought you the breaking news that a federal court in New York had delivered a bombshell judgment overturning all of those so-called reciprocal tariffs that President Donald Trump unveiled back on April the 2nd. You remember this golden oldie?
My fellow Americans, this is Liberation Day. Waiting for a long time. If you look at Switzerland, 61% to 31%. Indonesia, Malaysia, Cambodia. Oh, look at Cambodia, 97%. We're going to bring it down to 49%. They made a fortune with the United States of America. United Kingdom, 10%. and we'll go 10%. So we'll do the same thing.
Well, they're not laughing now. Liberation Day may yet blow up in his face. The little-known Court of International Trade in Manhattan last night ordered the White House to wind up those reciprocal tariffs within the next 10 days or face legal sanctions. The judges ruled that Trump had acted illegally, using national emergency laws to unveil his tariffs as a way of circumventing Congress. The court said only Congress can implement and regulate tariffs on imports. Today, an appeals court temporarily paused the first court's ruling while it considers the White House efforts to overturn that ruling. But there was more bad news for the White House today. Another federal judge said she is blocking the administration's efforts to prevent Harvard University from enrolling international students. Other courts have said Trump did not have the right to fire hundreds of thousands of federal workers. They've stopped the White House from engaging in some of its mass deportations, literally grounding planes, ordering the government to stop flying some migrants out of the country. Remember Trump's pledge to bring peace to Ukraine? He said he could do it in 24 hours. 4 months in, that process is going nowhere, and Gaza is no less a war zone than it was, despite the president's pledge to get that sorted out as well. So, about 130 days into his second term in office, is Donald Trump a busted flush? It does seem a fair question to ask. What has he delivered to his supporters? The White House would justifiably argue that he has sealed the southern border with Mexico, the flow of migrants that even the Biden administration had to admit very late in the day was a crisis, has largely been stilled. He's forced federal government workers to go back to the office, those that he hasn't fired. There's no question there's a bit more life in Washington these days now that they're not working at home. But in broad terms, all the major pledges that he made are unfulfilled. And what the courts are telling him is, Mr. President, America is not a dictatorship. The White House appears to be saying to the courts, let's see about that. Here's Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary, speaking earlier today.
The courts should have no role here. There is a troubling and dangerous trend of unelected judges inserting themselves into the presidential decision-making process. America cannot function if President Trump, or any other president for that matter, has their sensitive diplomatic or trade negotiations railroaded by activist judges. President Trump is in the process of rebalancing America's trading agreements with the entire world, bringing tens of billions of dollars in tariff revenues to our country, and finally ending the United States of America from being ripped off. These judges are threatening to undermine the credibility of the United States on the world stage.
Now, just to be clear, the courts are telling him that if he wants to impose tariffs on the rest of the world, he can probably do it. But he can't do it unilaterally. He's got to follow the rules of the road. Whether he will or not, well, that is going to be, in many ways, the deciding factor with regard to the future of American democracy. Because if he ignores the courts, and he might, we will be wandering down a very uncertain path. Is Donald Trump already a busted flush amid all the bluster? Is there any there? I know many of you are admirers of Trump and have long argued on LBC. I've long argued on LBC that you should never write him off, but he's definitely wounded at the moment. What chance do you think he has of turning his situation around? You can call me at 0345 6060 973. You can text me at 84850, or you can ask Alexa to send a comment to LBC. To kick off our conversation, I'm delighted to be joined tonight by Michael Wolff, the American author who has written All or Nothing, How Trump Recaptured America, and other several highly acclaimed books about Donald Trump. Mr. Wolff, thank you very much indeed for being with us on LBC tonight. Your book is about how Trump recaptured America, but having recaptured it, where is he going in this second term?
I think you're misunderstanding everything about what Donald Trump wants. Donald Trump, tariffs, immigration, all of this is secondary to the key thing he wants, which is headlines, everyday headlines. What he wants is to dominate the news cycle day after day after day, which he is doing. And actually, even the process of courts rejecting what he's doing is just another stage in the process of him grabbing headlines. It is And it remains, no matter what happens, the Donald Trump show every day. And we will move on. It doesn't make any difference here. Tariffs, okay, well, we'll move on from tariffs. It's like Elon Musk, remember that? Remember Doge? Well, we moved on from that. None of this will be remembered X number of weeks or months from now, because we will go on to the next Trump-created crisis. That is what he wants. Conflict, conflict, conflict.
Isn't what he really wants an all-powerful presidency?
No. What he wants is conflict and headlines. He doesn't. This is the profound misunderstanding on the part of almost everybody who tries to understand Donald Trump, thinking that he actually wants something beyond attention. And, you know, let's go back. What I always say, remember, he was the star of a top-rated reality television show for 14 years. That is his central success in life. That is what he is always trying to repeat. What is the secret of a reality television show? Conflict. Every day, you need a new conflict.
So it's almost a purposeless administration then in terms of achievement.
Achievement. The achievement is attention for Donald Trump. He is not a politician. Doesn't have any interest really in politics. Certainly he has no interest in policy. He has no idea how to accomplish a legislative agenda. This is not what he wants. In 2016, the first time I interviewed him in his political career, I said, why are you doing this? Why are you running for president? This was at a moment when it still seemed preposterous that he ever would be president. And he said to me, without missing a beat, he said, to be the most famous man in the world. That he has accomplished and continues to accomplish, continues to stay the most famous man in the world.
And so, therefore, to him, do you think it doesn't matter whether he makes good on any of the pledges that he made to the American people? I mean, he's told the American people the country is raking in so much money.
Yeah, makes absolutely no difference to him. He will just move on to the next claim, the next conflict. We will forget about these other conflicts. Remember the wall that he was going to build? We forget about it. It doesn't make any difference.
And what happens to his Make America Great Again movement in terms of its political longevity?
It dies with him.
No prospect of an extension beyond 2028?
No. Well, if he lives, what will happen in 2028 is that there will be a Republican proxy running in his stead who he will undermine, and that person will be defeated because another Republican president would replace Donald Trump. That can't happen. So he will go back to Mar-a-Lago as he went back in 2028, as he went back to Mar-a-Lago the last time around. He will continue to dominate the Republican Party, and we will begin this whole process again, the Donald Trump show.
And so for the president's international interlocutors, and we talk about this, of course, on LBC a lot, particularly for Keir Starmer, the British Prime Minister, how do you deal with this?
There is no real dealing with it because only one person exists in Donald Trump's world. That is Donald Trump. Yes, the prime minister can go to Washington and can suck up to Donald Trump as he has done. And he, for a few minutes in the sun, he will get some flattery in return. But that's it. There is no dealing with Donald Trump. If your expectation is to function in a world of, in a normal political world, in a normal world of policy and outcome.
And Michael, can I ask you finally, with Donald Trump vacuuming up all the available oxygen, the Klieg lights of publicity, as you've laid it out, the Donald Trump show, how do the Democrats ever get another look in while this is all going on?
Well, I think it's complicated. I mean, as I say, in 2028, whoever the Republican is, Donald Trump will undermine, the Democrats will be elected. But that doesn't really solve their problem. The problem is that Donald Trump has reinvented the very nature of politics, the very nature of what it means to be a politician. And there is no one in the Democratic Party who can compete with that, who can imagine what that new politics is. Now, that's bad for the Democrats, but when Donald Trump leaves this veil of tears, there's no one in the Republican Party who will be able to do that either. Donald Trump is unique.
No question about that. Michael Wolff, thank you so much for joining us on the program tonight. Michael Wolff has written All or Nothing, How Trump Recaptured America, along with other several highly acclaimed books about Donald Trump. So now over to you. Do you agree with Michael Wolff that essentially when it comes to Donald Trump, there is no there? He's not so much a busted flush as a flush that never existed in the first place to be busted. Or do you think that he actually does have things that he believes in, core ideas that he wants to deliver, pledges that he wants to make good on that he offered to the American public? Even if you disagree with his policies, do you think he is going to remain in dogged pursuit of trying to bring them to fruition? You can call me now at 0345 6060973. You can text 84850. You can ask Alexa to send a comment to LBC, or you can send me a message on Blue Sky, where you can just search for Simon Marks and you will find me there. We'll talk about Donald Trump for the rest of this hour. The time now, 16 minutes past 11.
This is LBC.
Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday. And right now, you can save £200 per couple with My Jet 2. So escape to sunny favourites like Gran Canaria, Crete and Costa Blanca, and get 22 kilograms of baggage included. Book now from London Stansted with just a £60 deposit per person. Jet 2 holidays. Package holidays you can trust. After National Protected. Subject to availability and conditions.
Amazon offers employees up to £8,000 for education and training, like Juliet. She's now a trained technician. And to her, the sound of machinery in need of repair reminds her of how far she's come. In 2 years, she's landed her dream job, providing her with valuable skills. That's up to £8,000 for education and training at Amazon. Eligibility conditions apply.
Barclays Ready Made Investments. The clue's in the name. Not Barclays Where Do I Begin Investments. You can start from £50. That's why they're not difficult to get started investments either. And you can choose your risk level. So they're hardly in at the deep end investments. So if you've got savings and you want to help grow your money over 5 years or more, then search Barclays Ready Made Investments. Make money work for you. Investing is not for everyone. The value of investments can fall as well as rise, and you may get back less than you invest. T's and C's apply.
Simon Marks on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
So you just heard Michael Wolff there argue that basically Donald Trump, he says, doesn't really believe in anything other than the power of his own personality and his desire, as Michael Wolff put it, simply to be the most famous person in the world. That it's all bluster, it's all obfuscation, it's all distraction, it's all an effort just to keep his name in the headlines, with no serious intent underpinning any of that. With respect to Michael Wolff, I'm not sure that I completely agree with that. I think that Donald Trump actually is very committed to his Make America Great Again movement. He has, for decades, argued, for example, that the country should embrace protectionism, should introduce tariffs to alleviate its trade deficit. He has spoken for decades about the possibility of returning to a time, a much earlier time, in the United States, when you could finance the entire government through tariff revenues, before federal income tax even existed. He wants to do away, ultimately, with income tax and simply fund government activity through the tariff revenues that he collects. So I think he's actually pretty committed to that goal. I'm not sure he necessarily knows how to legislate, how to work with Congress, how to work the system in order to bring it about, which is where he's now bumping up against the courts. And I do think that he's definitely interested in a superannuated presidency, a much more powerful executive. Even if Donald Trump isn't philosophically committed to that, the people around him, Stephen Miller, the Deputy White House Chief of Staff, Steve Bannon, his former political advisor, I think they really are committed to all of that. But never mind me. What do you think? Call me at 0345 6060973, which is what Elliot has done from Cheadle in Cheshire. Elliot, good evening to you.
Good evening, Simon. It's good to speak to you again.
And to you.
You know, a country gets what a country votes for in a democracy. The US public gave Trump an unequivocal mandate because they see him as their strongman. Remember, Trump is a convicted criminal who has a mentality of a lawbreaker, which you will recall Kamala Harris pointed out when she said, "I know all about your type." She asserted that when she was up against him in the presidential election. But she didn't understand that the public actually want a Wild West maverick to challenge the status quo. They want him to railroad over the judicial system and, if necessary, the Supreme Court. Remember, the public not only gave him a mandate, but they wiped away any political obstacle. They gave him complete control of Congress. There's no threat from the Senate or the House of Representatives. He can do basically what he wants until November 26th, when the midterm elections come along. He is a man in a hurry.
Well, I agree with some of what you've said, Elliot, but I'm going to push back against some of it as well. Yes, he has Republican majorities in the House of Representatives and the US Senate, but I think if he thought that he could get everything done that he wanted to do with those Republican majorities, he wouldn't be so focused on doing an end run around Congress. So if you look at the tariffs, for example, I mean, the court yesterday in Manhattan basically said to him, look, you can impose these tariffs. You just can't do it using this 1977 Emergency Powers Act, because there's no demonstrable national emergency that requires these tariffs. Now, he could, the court said to him, Congress has to be involved in drafting and approving tariffs. He could have gone to Congress to do all of this. On the one hand, I think he thinks that's just a heck of a lot of work and he's not particularly interested in doing all the work. But I also think, you know, there are Republicans in the Senate and the House of Representatives that don't buy his protectionist approach. They are free traders. They don't believe in tariffs. So on that, for example, I think he would have had difficulty getting it through.
Yes, but remember, until he is challenged by either of the houses, and I mean threatened with the prospect of actually being voted against, there is nothing to stop him doing what he's doing. He doesn't want to get involved in the obnoxious problem of trying to get his bills through the Senate.
Yes.
Of course he doesn't. He doesn't feel as though it's necessary. Remember, he has this mandate. He's putting it clearly across that no judge who has not been elected has the right to get in his way. He's made that clear. He will pursue his policies up till November next year. And if he loses one of the houses, which there could be possibilities, he then will be impeached. That is no doubt. But until then, he will do what he chooses to do.
So where do you stand on the argument that Michael Wolff was just advancing, that essentially there is no there? I mean, I think there are core beliefs there, and I think that he does have a desire to change America, which is what you can argue makes him a particularly dangerous, certainly powerful president of the United States. But you heard Michael Wolff, who is an esteemed and acclaimed author who has interviewed Donald Trump on multiple occasions, say that this is just literally a made-for-reality daily TV show and nothing more.
Well, let me say this to you. If I honestly believed in what Michael Wolff was saying, I'd actually believe that all Donald Trump was just some popularity seeker. But he's not a popularity seeker. This is a meaningful attempt to take on America, and the public are fully behind it. You must know that. You live in America. You must feel that on an ongoing basis. He has a tremendous tide of public support. And they want him to change the way America is constructed, internally and externally.
I agree with that absolutely, Elliot. I mean, I was saying to Ian Dale a couple of hours ago that I think he is a revolutionary. And I think he's got a revolutionary creed and he's committed to it.
Correct. I'd love to speak to Donald Trump. I'd love to see what his rationality is. I don't think for one minute he's the sort of individual that you see on the TV. Mm. I think when you get him privately, you probably have a very, very congenial conversation with him. And he probably reassures you that what he's doing is correct. Mm. But I'd love to do that. You should do that if you can, because I think you'd enjoy that.
I'd love to do it, Elliot. I'm not sure they're going to let me through those White House doors anytime soon, but I'll certainly give it a try. I'm going back there on Saturday, so I'll give it another go. Listen, thanks very much indeed for calling in. It was good to hear your voice. Also on the line tonight, Daniel in Golders Green. And Daniel, can I believe my eyes? What are you about to tell me?
Well, Simon, indeed, I don't know if you can believe your eyes or ears about what I'm about to say, but as a former fan of Donald Trump, I am frankly appalled at his recent antics, especially with regard to tariffs. I have family in America who have businesses. They're in the handbag business, and they've been terribly badly affected by the effect of tariffs. And frankly, it's caused so much disruption and so much chaos that I don't think anyone could have even imagined the pain that it's causing.
Now, let's just be clear, Daniel, for listeners who are unfamiliar with Daniel's oeuvre on various programmes that I've helmed over the last several months and on other programmes on LBC, it is fair to say that up until now, Daniel, you have been an absolute diehard Donald Trump supporter.
Yes, absolutely. And to be fair, I believe that he did achieve one big thing, and that is stopping the threat of neo-communism from Kamala Harris. So I think in that respect, he did save America, but I think he is starting to go down a path which is not one which most Americans would want to see.
When did the rot set in for you?
It was on what he called Liberation Day. I think it showed, Simon, a fundamental lack of understanding on his part about how the tariffs would actually work. The Donald Trump, in his head, believe that it's the country that he imposed the tariffs on that paid, when it isn't. It's the American businesses, the importers of the goods, who pay the tariff. And I think he severely, George Bush, misunderstood the impact that it would have. And it's been devastating.
What do you think he's going to do now with regard to these tariffs? I mean, the court in Manhattan has kind of given him a bit of a get-out clause there, but the White House is absolutely fighting it. And he seems completely committed not just to protectionism as a pillar of his economic policy, but also as a pillar of his national security policy. Because remember, he's using these tariffs as a threat. You know, if Canada doesn't become America's 51st state, it will be disadvantaged because of my tariffs. If China doesn't cut the flow of fentanyl into the United States, I'm going to ratchet the tariffs up. If these tariffs disappear, he's stuck for an operating principle, isn't he?
He is. But there's an issue here, Simon, that a lot of people haven't really talked about, and that's that his favourite word in the dictionary, tariff, can be a very powerful tool in the arsenal of a particular country when it comes to trade, but only if you use them as a threat. If you wield tariffs as a threat, as Donald Trump did originally, you can invoke change from other countries to come to the deal-making table to remove their tariffs. But once you actually impose tariffs, then all hell breaks loose. And that is where Donald Trump has failed, and he's failed badly.
Can he win you back?
Yes, he can. If he acknowledges his mistakes, which I think is very unlikely, if he acknowledges his mistakes in regard to the trade policies, rectifies them, and says, you know, look, I am going to come to the table. We are going to come to the table. We're not going to start imposing tariffs again. And if he abides by the Supreme Court rulings and whichever court rulings happen, whether they go in his favour or not, then I think he can. But Simon, the data and the feelings of ordinary Americans will tell. If American consumers, business owners, entrepreneurs, American taxpayers, American consumers, if they start to feel improvements, then he will be vindicated. If not, he's out.
And I'm sorry, let me ask you about court orders, because he's not currently obeying a Supreme Court ruling, for example, to bring Kilmer Abrego Garcia, that 29-year-old man from Maryland, back from the El Salvadorian gulag. He's completely ignored that Supreme Court ruling. There's no indication that he's necessarily going to adhere to court orders.
No, that's right. And I think that is troubling. As much as I liked Donald Trump's ethos and his, the way he operated, I think this is totally unacceptable. I'm a former police officer, and I believe that you should abide by the rule of law. And I think it is imperative that the American president, the person who is the most powerful politician in the world, it's imperative that they adhere to laws and to court rulings. And I think, look, nobody is saying that convicted Venezuelan gang members or MS-13 gang members would be allowed to stay in America. What we are saying is that there must be due process, Simon, as you've said quite rightly multiple times. Donald Trump must follow due process.
Daniel, I'm feeling like this is a turning point for you. I hope you're going to keep me in touch with this when I come back and do more shows later in the summer.
With pleasure. And can I just say, Simon, I absolutely love your Simon Marks American Week. It is appointment to listen radio.
Well, thank you very much, Daniel. That is very nice of you. And that gives me a chance to remind listeners and your good self that there will be one at 10 to 6 tomorrow. Ben Kentish sitting in for Tom Swarbrick tomorrow. But I'll have American Week as usual at 10 to 6 tomorrow. Daniel, thanks very much for calling in. I tell you, when you've lost Daniel of Golders Green, it's hard to know whose support you've kept. If you are like Daniel of Golders Green, a previously absolutely stalwart supporter of Donald Trump, are you like Daniel now rethinking your backing of him? Have your views of Donald Trump in any way changed over the past 4 months? Daniel there saying it's the tariffs partly that have impacted his change in approach, but also the way in which Donald Trump has disregarded court orders that are beginning to shift his opinion of Donald Trump. I have to say, words, when Daniel's name flashed up on the board here, I did not expect him to tell me that. Call me and tell me what you think. 0345 6060973. You can text 84850. You can ask Alexa to send a comment to LBC with the time at 28 minutes to midnight. The news headlines come from Tim Daly.
President Trump's been told he can press ahead with sweeping tariffs for the time being, even though a court has ruled he overstepped his authority by using emergency powers to impose the levies. Most of them will remain in place while the White House appeals against the decision. A local businessman and father of three has been charged over the collision in Liverpool, which injured dozens of football fans. The charges against 53-year-old Paul Doyle from West Derby include dangerous driving and causing GBH with intent. And lawyers for the influencer brothers Andrew and Tristan Tate say they will return to the UK to defend themselves against rape, trafficking and other charges. The pair, who are dual US and British citizens, moved to Romania in 2016. LBC weather, patchy rain for central Scotland, Wales and the north of England overnight, but mostly dry elsewhere, with a low in some places of 4 degrees.
This is LBC.
The Steakhouse Stack, with two layers of delicious beef, crispy onions and peppercorn sauce. It's the kind of McDonald's you take photos of to put pride of place on the mantelpiece. Sure, you'll need to make room, but you remember what your wedding day looked like? The Steakhouse Stack. It's McDonald's, and then some. Available until the 17th of June. Serve from 11 a.m. Subject to availability. Participating restaurants only.
If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, what you thought you were getting may not be what you ended up with. From unexpected site fee increases, running costs, a huge depreciation in value, many owners feel they've been missold. If you think this might be you, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive the compensation you're entitled to. Text ASSIST to 78900 to find out more. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Calling all young creatives. Kickstart your career in media. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12 at Global Academy. globalacademy.com.
Tired of watching your uninvested cash do nothing? With the Bank of England base rate reducing, investment platform IG is doing something extraordinary. IG is offering a whopping 8.5% AER variable on all uninvested cash. Yes, 8.5%. Just open an account, transfer money in, and make one investment before May 31st to unlock this incredible rate. Visit IG.com now to open an investment account today. Your capital is at risk. GIA, ISA and SIP accounts only. Boosted rate applies until 31st August 2025. Terms and conditions apply.
Simon Marks on LBC. Text 84850.
And we're talking about Donald Trump and whether he is already a busted flush in power, given some of the setbacks that he has encountered over the last several days. Or do you think that he still can make good on the pledges that he made to the American people? And have your views of Donald Trump in any way changed over the last 4 months? We were just talking to Daniel in Golders Green, a regular caller to LBC, who regularly has defended vigorously Donald Trump's time in office, and who told me tonight that he is changing his view of the American president in large measure because of his policy of tariffs. So we'll get back to your calls and your texts on that. Some of you are just texting me questions. And if you like, we can turn this into an impromptu edition of Question Marks, the session that I do every now and again on an occasional basis with Ian Dale. Ian has gone home, but I'll try and helm it myself, if you like. So if you want to text some questions in or ask some questions, I'll be happy to try and answer them. We'll get back to all of that in a moment. But first, the Prime Minister today launched a major attack on Reform UK and, of course, its leader, Nigel Farage. Speaking in St. Helens, Sir Keir Starmer said that if he became Prime Minister, Mr. Farage would crash the economy just like Liz Truss did. He accused the Reform leader of fantasy economics, a reference to the package of policies that Reform unveiled earlier this week in an effort to go after Labour voters. And the warfare between the two parties has been intensifying in Scotland, where Scottish Labour accused Reform of distributing what they called a blatantly racist ad that they say attacks Scottish Labour leader Anas Sarwa. To update us on all of that, who else but LBC's political correspondent Aggie Chambray. And Aggie, there is no question at all now that Labour and Reform are firmly within each other's sights.
Indeed, but isn't that extraordinary, Simon? Because lest we forget, Labour just won a landslide majority and Reform have five MPs. And yet, Nigel Farage is effectively being elevated. He himself has said that he is the real opposition, but he's also being elevated now by the government as the real opposition. And yes, there is this side story of the Conservatives being irrelevant in lots of people's minds. But I thought this was a really, really interesting press conference in that way, because the press conference was entirely about Nigel Farage and he was extremely scathing of him. And yes, he wanted to make these arguments that basically the numbers did not add up, but we are still 4 years away from an election. So questions there about what the reasoning was behind this press conference. But as you say, he accused Nigel Farage of fantasy figures. And I think we can hear a little clip of that now.
Now in government, we're once again fighting the same fantasy, this time from Farage. The same bet in the same casino that you can spend tens of billions of pounds on tax cuts without a proper way of paying for it. Using your family finances, your mortgages, your bills as the gambling chip on his mad experiment. And I can see that in keeping with my point, apparently he's in Las Vegas today at a casino.
So that was Sir Keir Starmer there. And of course, this comes after two major events. Number one is the Runcorn and Helmsley by-election, which Labour lost. And number two is, and the locals as well, where they lost hundreds of council seats. And number two is Tuesday. We spoke on Tuesday, of course, Simon, about that extraordinary press conference Reform UK gave, which was wide-ranging, to say the least. And they announced a number of policies, including that they would U-turn on the winter fuel policy that the Labour government brought in. They've, of course, also said they're going to U-turn on that to some degree. They also said, Reform UK also said that they would U-turn on to child benefit. They would reverse that, I should say. And they also reiterated the point that they would change income tax, the way you would start paying income tax, to £20,000. And the IFS, the Institute for Fiscal Studies, have already been extremely scathing about that. But this was Labour responding to that, Sir Keir Starmer responding to that. And there was also this row about working class. Sir Keir Starmer saying today he wouldn't be taking any lectures from Nigel Farage on who was more working class.
And in relation to the second part of your question, I don't need lectures from Nigel Farage on what it means to be working and working people. I know what it means to work 10 hours a day in a factory 5 days a week. And I know that because that is what my dad did every single working day of his life. And that's what I grew up with. So I don't need lessons from Nigel Farage about the issues that matter most to working people in this country.
Now, Simon, I also asked him about this point that I was trying to make to you, which was, aren't you worried that it will look like you're effectively elevating Sir Keir Starmer and talking about him, doing this press conference about him, when we're 4 years away from a general election, when instead you should be really governing the country, concentrating on your plan for the country? He sadly didn't respond to that, but he did respond to my other question, which was about these adverts that you mentioned in the introduction. These adverts claim that Scottish Labour leader Anna Sarwar would prioritise the Pakistani community, and they've been criticised highly by the SNP and by Labour. So I asked him about those.
What we've seen with Reform in Scotland in relation to this particular video is manipulation. And it is, as ever with Reform and Nigel Farage, trying to divide people with a toxic divide and to poison our politics. And I think our politics is above that. And that's why I think it's absolutely right that Anna Sarwar has called this out for what it is. It is toxic divide. It is introducing poison into our politics. And that is exactly what turns people off politics. And that is why restoring trust to politics is so important to my project and the project of Scottish Labour.
Aggie, there is a real danger, though, here, as you tried to ask the Prime Minister, that he is elevating Nigel Farage. I mean, by basically saying to the country, I now see Reform as my principal opposition that I've got to find a way of neutralising. I mean, there is a risk that he's elevating them in the minds of the public.
Of course there is. And I think we're seeing this more and more. And I don't know exactly the way that this Labour government should be dealing with Nigel Farage, but I'm not sure it's this. And people I've spoken to kind of in the Labour Party are not sure that it's this either. Because if you do this, you basically, I suppose to a certain extent, it's slightly doing what they're doing with policies, where you, if you slightly move to the right, you normalise what another party is doing and make it more acceptable to vote for that, whereas before people might not have found it so acceptable to vote for what something that wasn't traditionally one of the two main parties. So by doing this, they are essentially elevating him, and they're basically kind of making it easier, I suppose, in a way, for people to be willing to vote for them in the next general election. And also, they are giving them so much free publicity. This was a press conference entirely about Nigel Farage, which, you know, it's almost like they were behaving like you do when you're in opposition, when you need to grab hold of the headlines and you need to really make sure you say something almost inflammatory so that you get those front pages. But they're not in opposition. The Labour Party is in government. They don't have to say very much to grab hold of the news agenda, and they don't need to be talking about Nigel Farage really at all.
But they very much are talking about Nigel Farage. Aggie Chambray, LBC's political correspondent, another busy day for her. Thank you very much indeed. Doubtless more tomorrow. We are going to continue talking for the rest of this hour about Donald Trump. Is he a busted flush? Can he overcome the legal challenges that he is facing, the court judgments that are stacking up against him? Can he find a way of putting his presidency back on track? Or do you agree with Michael Wolff, who told us at the beginning of the hour, Trump biographer, of course, that he doesn't think there is any there with Donald Trump? It is all simply about the Trump reality TV show. And as I said, some of you are texting questions in for me. Olad has sent a question saying, Simon, can you please explain what the judges can actually do if Trump refuses to comply? They can't arrest him. So what can they do if he ignores everything that the courts say? It is a terrific question, because the honest truth is there is not much they can do. I mean, depending on the case, there are circumstances in which, for example, government figures could be found to be in contempt of court. They could be fined. The fines would compound themselves over time. But ultimately, if they don't pay the fines, it's not immediately apparent what would occur to them. Remember that Donald Trump himself is the beneficiary of a Supreme Court ruling that says that presidents of the United States, sitting or future presidents of the United States, or even now former presidents, cannot be prosecuted for actions they have committed in line with their official duties. And that's obviously got a pretty wide latitude. So in terms of threats to Donald Trump's personal freedom or anything like that, tremendous limits in what the courts can do now as a result of that Supreme Court ruling. And I think what's been so fascinating about the last 4 or 5 months is this realization that the sanctity of the American judicial system that we all thought of as being absolutely this bedrock check and balance contained within the American constitutional arrangements actually turns out to be pretty fragile. That if you simply ignore the courts, if you don't do anything when the Supreme Court says you've got to bring the man back from El Salvador that you concede you deported by mistake, if you don't bring him back and you just leave him in El Salvador, it's very unclear what kind of sanction can be leveled against you, which is why I think we are entering very dangerous weeks and months ahead, because if Donald Trump really covets the clash with the courts that I think he covets, and I know Michael Wolff disagrees with that, but if he really covets the clash with the courts, it has the potential to put America on a very perilous path. I've got some more questions from you stacking up here. I'll get to them and to more of your calls here on LBC. The number to call, 0345 6060973. The time is 14 minutes to midnight.
LBC, this morning on Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Here's the tale of the tape. In the blue corner, you have a fairly burly 51-year-old police officer, Stephen Smith, who has a pepper spray and extendable nightstick. With him is the 36-year-old police officer, Rachel Camato, who has a taser. Both of them have stab vests. In the other, you have a 92-year-old man in a wheelchair with one leg and a 4-inch butter knife. I warn you, this is distressing.
Donald, put it down!
Taser!
This is a day of utter shame for the police. The fact that they were cleared at Southwark Crown Court I find truly extraordinary, but they will now face disciplinary proceedings. It can only hope that they're both booted out.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Back tomorrow morning from 7. Listen on your radio, on Global Player, and the new LBC app.
With Little Plus Fruity Super Spin, simply shop and spin to win a free fresh fruit coupon with every shop. Download the Little Plus app to get by switching to the Retail Industry Awards Fresh Produce Retailer of the Year. 18 plus GB residents, various prices available, subject to availability. Ends 4th of the 6/25. Full T's and C's apply. See little.co.uk/spin.
What's your possible? The vision only you can make happen. Whatever the size of your business, accelerate your growth with the Intuit QuickBooks AI-powered platform. Power your possible with the number one recommended cloud accounting software, Intuit QuickBooks. Based on a survey of 506 UK accounting professionals. Verify at quickbooks.co.uk/verify.
When you sail on a Saga cruise, you really can relax, because so much is included. A choice of speciality restaurants? Included. A balcony with every cabin? Included. Wonderfully attentive staff? Included. Spotting a whale out at sea? Included. realizing the whale is actually just a wave included. Search Saga Boutique Cruises 2026 season on sale now. Experience is everything. T's and C's apply, over 50s only.
At Halfords, we want you to say yes to packing more into summer days with a great value roof box or bike rack. Say yes to freewheeling fun with bikes and gear for all the family. Say yes to a perfectly polished car with our range of car cleaning products. And say yes to easy breezy trips with a free aircon check. Our experts are on hand with checks, advice and fitting. So pop into your local store or shop online and say yes to summer at Halfords. Subject to availability, see halfords.com for full T's and C's.
The Steakhouse Stag, with two layers of delicious beef, crispy onions and peppercorn sauce. It's the kind of McDonald's you take photos of to put pride of place on the mantelpiece. Sure, you'll need to make room, but you remember what your wedding day looked like. The Steakhouse Stag. It's McDonald's and then some. Available until the 17th of June. Serve from 11 a.m. Subject to availability. Participating restaurants only.
This is LBC with Simon Marks. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Jules is in Upton-on-Severn this evening. Jules, good evening. Thanks for calling the programme. What would you like to say?
Good evening, Simon. Yeah, I was curious. You know much more about this stuff than me, but having observed all of this Trump sort of clown show over the last, you know, couple of months or whatever it is, I wonder, you know, the midterms are coming up. I think they will start going out on the campaign trail in April next year to vote. And I just have the sense, maybe I'm wrong, that I think the mood is turning in the US, and certain indicators tend to point in that direction. I just sense that the Republicans could be completely eviscerated in that, in those midterm elections. And not being an expert on the system in the US, I guess my question for you is, what happens if that comes to pass and they are completely gutted in that midterm election? What happens for the next 2 years?
Yeah, well, they wouldn't have to be completely gutted for substantial change to occur. I mean, even if only the House of Representatives, for example, were to fall into Democratic hands, or only the Senate were to fall into Democratic hands, that would theoretically upend Donald Trump's ability to get much done, although that would presume that at some point he's going to try and work with Congress. I mean, also remember that the impeachment process, Jules, constitutionally starts in the House of Representatives. So if Democrats win control of the House, they will undoubtedly make efforts, as Michael Wolff was suggesting at the beginning of the hour, to impeach Donald Trump. I mean, I think there's no question that they would do it on the first day of the new Congress. So even a narrow win by Democrats in terms of securing control of the House of Representatives would have really potentially substantial implications for him. Now, remember, of course, he's been impeached twice already and was re-elected to the presidency and has always relished having a target in the form of his political opponents and would presumably once again make hay out of any impeachment process that began against him. But there is another side to this coin, which is that when you say, it looks like things are moving in the direction of the Democrats, I think that's true in some parts of the country. But I also think the fact that the Democrats have kind of disappeared from the national debate. I mean, earlier today I was looking at my email account and see if I can call it up now. I got a fundraising email today from Kamala Harris, which is sort of unbelievable to me. I mean, the idea that Kamala Harris is still, here it is, lowering Kamala Harris's ask to $5. $5 is the donation Kamala Harris is asking you to make, just $5. In less than 2 days, the Democratic National Committee's next Federal Election Committee fundraising deadline comes to a close. It's vital that the DNC file a huge number of individual contributions. So $5 is what Kamala Harris is asking of you. Now, the idea that grassroots Democrats, I mean, I obviously get the Republican and the Democrats fundraising emails because I sign up for everything as a reporter.
Yeah.
But grassroots Democrats all over the country have looked at their email inbox today, have not heard barely a word from Kamala Harris since the end of the presidential election, and yet are getting, you know, shaken down for money by her, even though it's May the 29th. I mean, to me, that is just extraordinary.
Can you see anybody, Simon, on that horizon who in the next, you know, because, you know, it's a long time since the next general election in the US. Is there anybody that you can see, being as close to it as you are, who could emerge and you know, and really mount a challenge in those kind of those 2 years after the midterms, which is the crucial campaigning time for the next presidential election?
Yeah, I think the Democrats have got a bench of talent. I think it's largely hidden from view because, as Michael Wolff was correctly suggesting, Donald Trump has actually absolutely completely dominated the oxygen in the room. I mean, he is under the Klieg lights of publicity constantly, and that largely freezes the Democrats out. But if you look at, you know, people that are out there and the progressive wing of the Democratic Party would have to win the wrestle for control of the party were either of these characters to stand a chance. But Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, she's been out addressing rallies, flanked by Senator Bernie Sanders, who I think very much is positioning her as the left-wing firebrand. She's only 35. She can now run for the presidency. I think he's positioning her as a possible candidate. There's also Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett of Texas. One of our listeners sent me a message earlier in the week to ask me what I thought of Jasmine Crockett. She's very interesting. She has been really taking it to Donald Trump and to Elon Musk and other figures within Trump world in a very populist way, widely quoted among Democratic Party media circles. She's young, she's charismatic, she's frank, she's sometimes too frank, because she can be so scatological she has to be bleeped out on American television. But you know what? As Michael Wolff was suggesting, you're only going to be able to combat populism with populism. And they've got to find someone who can sort of speak the same language as Trump. And in that regard, I think she's quite interesting. She's worth a look.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because when you look at, I guess, you'd use the template of Obama, wouldn't you, in terms of delivery of message. I just get the sense they haven't got that person. I'm not as close to it as you. I just hope that somebody emerges between now and the next presidential election that they don't subject the rest of us to, you know, the vagaries of the decisions of the right wing in the US that, you know, the reverberations affect all of us.
Well, I think they've got to go through a bit of a truth and reconciliation process, frankly. I mean, I don't know if you remember just a few weeks ago, Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey made a 25-hour speech on the floor of the Senate.
Yes.
And the most interesting thing about that speech was the apology that he offered on the part of himself and the Democratic Party to the American people, because he recognized that he needed to issue that apology because the Democrats have played such a terrible game since the end of the election and Donald Trump's victory. I mean, we went through a year in the United States with first Joe Biden and then Kamala Harris telling the American public that democracy was on the ballot in this American election, in the 2024 presidential election, and that the Republic would not survive. America's democratic experiment would collapse if Donald Trump came back into office. Donald Trump wins the election, and what's the message from the Democrats? Oh, well, we'll catch him the next time. I mean, you can't say to the electorate, you're on the edge of the abyss. We're going to plunge into the precipice. We're going to be dissolved in the lava of Donald Trump's toxicity towards democracy. And then when he actually wins the election, you kind of go, oh, well, you know, we'll just have to wait until 2020. I mean, it's a really problematic message, which Cory Booker recognized and for which he apologized.
But if you flip that question round, well, my original question round, what if it doesn't come to pass? And actually, the midterms are pretty good for the Republicans. I mean, yeah. What do those 2 years look like?
Well,
that's a huge question.
That is a huge question, and it has to be a huge worry for the Democrats. And they also, I think, have to worry about the extent to which the electoral process is going necessarily to be free and fair in sort of traditional terms, as we have always come to expect it to be. But were the Republicans to maintain control in both the House and the Senate, or who who knows, maybe even expand their majorities in the House and the Senate. I mean, maybe that would give Donald Trump more reason to think about working with Congress and within the confines of America's constitutional system. I mean, it is so odd to see an American president who has so much power at his disposal, you know, finding his tariffs overturned. I mean, now that's been temporarily stayed by the appeals court, but, you know, it's a real threat now to the central plank of his economic agenda because he insists on governing by executive order and by presidential diktat. And, you know, the American system wasn't built for that. So he's threatening this huge constitutional upheaval. And yet, as you pointed out earlier, I mean, he doesn't necessarily have to do that because he's got those majorities that he could be using.
Well, he'll claim it as a victory, of course, because if it all falls over, then, of course, the markets will surge, say, OK, stability looks good, investment goes back in. And, you know, what a huge victory that will be for Donald Trump. So he'll spin it in that way, I suspect.
But one thing is certain, Jules, that under Donald Trump, the House always wins. Jules in Upton on Seven, thank you very much indeed for calling in. Lovely to talk to you and bringing our hour on US President Donald Trump and his travails to an end. I'm sure we'll be talking about him again soon into our final hour together before I head back to Washington. And we're going to talk about antisocial behaviour. Hopefully there won't be any of that on my plane on Saturday. Today, Robert Jenrick, the Shadow Justice Secretary, hit the headlines after releasing a video in which he personally confronts fare dodgers on the London Tube.
Do you want to go back and pay like everybody else?
Hello, hello.
You're on camera, mate. You're bang to right.
A brave campaigning vigilante trying to halt fare dodgers in their tracks, or an attention-seeking wannabe prime minister chasing down, well, let's be honest, not exactly public enemy number one. But he took a risk. Have you taken risks in confronting antisocial behaviour? How far do you feel comfortable going in trying to persuade people to mend their ways?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at midnight. A federal appeals court has reinstated the most sweeping of President Trump's trade tariffs following a White House appeal against a decision to block them. It's after a trade court ruled he exceeded his authority by using historic laws to impose the duties. Many will now remain in place while the legal challenge plays out. But the American author and journalist Michael Wolff has been telling Simon Marks on LBC the president doesn't care that much about his policies succeeding.
What he wants is conflict and headlines. He doesn't, this is the profound